This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Mission, bringing you another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. And once in a while, somebody writes me and say, why you call yourself old-fashioned, Pastor? Because we are old-fashioned. We bring you the old-fashioned, unadulterated word of God. Thus saith the Lord. We don't compromise. We don't do. We don't add to it. We don't take from it. But the message you hear going to hear today is the signs of the times, the church sign.
We are facing judgment. Are you ready for the Lord's coming, my friend? Are you? I would I could face you with that question right now. I'm looking at you now, my friend, as you sit there or stand there or in your bed, wherever you may be before your radio. Are you ready for His coming? I am. All the signs of the times, as we told you before, fall under three divisions: the Jewish signs, the Gentile signs, and the church signs. Last week we showed you the signs of the Gentile world order that would characterize the closing age of the day of grace under Gentile world rule. Today we want to look at the church signs, because the church in Scripture, as set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples and by them to the New Testament believers, is the Gentile bride of Christ. This ties in with the Gentile signs, because the church and the Gentile world exist side by side from Pentecost until Christ takes all the true believers out of the world before His bodily return to the earth to take over the kingdoms of the world and make them His own. Before we continue with our study of the church signs, we must first understand what the Bible says about the church. What is the church? What are the functions and purpose of the church? What is the origin of the church? The word church is used today in such a vastly different light than it was when Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 18:18. Here it is, an assembly established by Christ upon a rock, that is Christ as the Son of God, which He would protect from the very gates of hell. Therefore we see that a church is an assembly of people gathered, now get this, listen, around Christ, the Son of God. What does that mean to you, my friend? It means that the individuals who are members of the assembly that Christ has called out are interested with and in Christ and are occupied with His deity or His person as the Son of God. And they are interested in Him, His work, or His messiahship. Christ the Messiah means the anointed of God to perform the work of redemption for God's elect. Now, if you're interested in a thing, you're going to talk about it. You're going to promote it, watching for its interest and progress. If you're interested in Christ, you're talking about Him. You're longing for Him. You're looking and waiting for Him. And you're doing His will while you're waiting for Him. Now, that's the characteristic of a believer. You say, "I believe," and you don't talk about Him. You're not saved. You say, "I believe," but you're not longing for Him. You're not saved. You say, "I believe," but nobody ever heard you talk about Christ. You know anything about salvation. So the New Testament church, established by the Lord Jesus Christ, will bear the marks of spiritual standards as set forth in God's Word. What are these marks of a true church? Remember that Christ told His disciples that the devil would sow tares among the wheat, that is, unbelievers among the believers. But He told them to let them grow together until the time of the harvest, or the judgment at the end of the age. Now look at that true church. In this day and time, there is so much prejudice among religious groups until it is difficult just to let God say what He means and means what He says. But let God be true and every man a liar. Church or assembly includes individuals who are called out. That is the meaning of the word for church. So the first mark of a true believer or a member of the true church is that God has called him out of the world. He has given him the effectual call according to Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. You may ask the question, Brother Sheldon, do you have a true church? Well, we have an organization here called the First Baptist Church of Algiers with a few saved people in it. The rest of them are awakened sinners or never been awakened. That's not a members of the true church of Christ. That's right. Well, how do you know folks are not saved? If you're saved, you'll know it. Have you ever been called? Called to what? Verse 29 says, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. They might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the church is an assembly or group of called out believers, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Here you have again the person and work of Christ, conformed to his person by the agency and work of the Holy Spirit, according to verses 26, 28. Read Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse to the end of the chapter. Then read the 3rd chapter of 2 Corinthians, where he does what he does, by the Spirit, through the Word. And that's the way he does it. Now, the average church member today does not conform his life to the Word of God. No, he don't. And the church has permitted God's message to be perverted. Now, you get that. The church and ministers today have perverted God's message. Now, what is God's message, generally speaking, to the church? Let me read it and let you see how the ministers today and the church has perverted God's message to his church. We talk about sanctification when we need justification. Now, there can be no sanctification until first you are justified in Christ. That's right. But you go about here preaching justification. You cannot justify the flesh. Or you can't sanctify the old flesh. You can't do it. Then you talk about reformation when we need regeneration. The average church member knows nothing about the new birth. They don't. We talk about dedication and we need redemption. Pick up the average religious periodical and the reports of churches. Well, we had so many additions by letter, so many by baptism, and had 25 dedications. They're not worth the salt that goes in the bread. Why? Because first there's got to be redemption before there can be a dedication. You say they're not saved? The average one of them's not. I lived in that realm for 25 years. Then we talk about spirit-filled life when we need blood cleansing. We need to know what it means to go to the fountain of cleansing before we know anything about a spirit-filled life. Then we talk about church membership when we need a new life in Christ, be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then we talk about religion and we need Christ. We talk about getting members in the church when we ought to preach for the salvation of lost souls in Christ. We talk about a revival when we need a spiritual awakening. Now, you see how preachers in the church have perverted God's message to the church. Now, read your Bible, and you'll find that that's so. Look at the average church member today. Do you see him being molded into the image of Christ, or do you see him drinking and smoking, gambling, running around, neglecting worship in the home, and not witnessing of what Christ means to him? No, the average church member today lives no different from the man on the street who never darkens the door of a church. The average church is just a social club or a political platform or an entertainment show. A man told me the other day, said, I went to church Sunday night to my church. I was never so disappointed in all my life. For 30 minutes, that man did nothing but spin yarns, tell one little funny story after the other. My heart was hungering for spiritual food, but I did not get it. A generation ago, the pastor preached against the evils of the day. today the average pastor is trying to Christianize the evils of the day. The time was that it was a sin to drink and dance and attend the picture show and wallow in the lust of the flesh. Today, you attend the picture show in the church and follow it with a social of dancing and drinking alcoholic beverages. If you'll read carefully 2 Timothy 3:18, you will notice a startling picture of the church in the last days, and it is no different from the world as set forth in Romans 1:18 through the end of that chapter, where Paul describes the whole world given over under atheism and lust. Now let me read to you of 2 Timothy 3:18. Will you listen? Now here's a picture that God gave in prophecy to the Apostle Paul of the church in the last days. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Brother, we are facing perilous times as we have never faced them. I said yesterday to a group and last night at our prayer meeting that we are facing a revolution in our own nation here in the next few weeks if our leaders do not put their feet down in the sand, as it were, on the rock, and hold the reins of our government with power. We are a lawless nation today. We are. God help us in this hour. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men, now he's talking about church members here, listen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers, what does it mean there? Lovers of the sensual pleasures. Lovers of lust. Lovers of money. Lovers of this thing or that thing. They're lovers of themselves. Everything that touches their life, they love it. Covetous, that's grasping. Then boasters. Notice this word closely, because I'm going to give you the meaning of it in just a minute too. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Never lived in a day when there's so much disobedient on the part of children to their parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Go in the average home today. There's no such a thing as natural affection, humanly speaking, in that home. Disobedient to parents and so on. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. That is, they have no control of themselves. Given over to lust. Given over to their own self-will. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. If there's somebody gets saved in that church, they kick him out. Traitors. Heady. That's self-strong. Self-will. Self-determined. High-minded. I'm somebody come. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, members of the church, but denying, refusing admission of the power thereof. That is to be delivered from sin. From such, Paul said, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with divers lust, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is, never come to the knowledge of blood redemption in Christ. Never come to the knowledge that they're lost sinners. Never come to the knowledge that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Having a form of godliness, that is, an external appearance, means they're members of the church and appear to be godly, doing a great work for the Lord. I wish we had time to give you the whole picture, and we may do it one of these days. But let's look at that word, boasters. It caught my eye. Listen. Listen. Boasters means an insolent, an empty assurance, which trusts in its own power and resources, and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights and impious and empty presumption which trusts the stability of the earth, an empty pretender that means a false profession of religion used as a cloak for all kinds of lasciviousness, covetousness, tyranny, contempt, and violence. Did you notice that? It's a church member posing as a saint, saying, I'm right. I'm going to get what I want, regardless what God's word says or men think. It is self-righteousness in its most aggressive action. This is being fulfilled in this very hour. Do you know that? And it's the church members who are doing it. It's the ministers who have agitated it for the last 40 years. They were agitating it when I came to this city 42 years ago as pastor of this church. Listen, and he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, saying that they were righteous and despised others. That's the story of the publican and the Pharisee. Christ said to the publican, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. How has the church come to this low moral, spiritual level? It is not a political problem we face today. It's a spiritual problem. And we've got to go back to the churches. We ministers are to blame for the low ebb of spirituality that's in our people today. We preachers are to blame for the lawlessness of our people, because it's the preachers that's standing up and saying, I don't care what your law is, I'm going to get what I want. I don't care what your authority is, I'm not going to obey it. Now that's the preachers leading them. Now God help us in this hour. Now why have we come to such a low ebb? It's because of this one thing. Well, let me put it on two. First is the type of gospel that's being preached. Everywhere you go, you hear only believe, only have faith. The missing note in present-day preaching is repentance. Now, I don't care what you say. I don't care who you are. I don't care what titles you have after your name. If you have never repented, you are not saved. Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God help us this hour. I'll stake my eternal destiny on that truth. And we've preached a believingism that has not shaken the hearts of guilty men and women, that's not brought them out to see their utter guiltiness before God. Therefore, they have no respect for the law. But let me tell you something. The law is the rule of the believer's life under the power of God's Holy Spirit in Christ. And you set aside the law, and in time you're going to have a lawless people, because here's the result of it. Here's where it leads to. It leads to this, that if I already believe, that's all I've got to do. Just trust Jesus. Just trust Him. And then I can live as I please. I can go on in sin and do this, do that, do the other. And you become a lawless individual. Now that's right. Then there's another thing that's happening all over this nation, all over the world. That is, they're doing away with the guilt of sin. They're hiding. They're smothering out. They're crying down any type of guilt complex. And when they do that, then there's no repenting, there's no believing, there's no Christ, there's no need of Christ. If a fellow's not guilty, why does he need a Savior? Here's the thing that's got to happen. There's got to come a preaching that will convict preachers, lawyers, doctors, theologians, political leaders of their guilt of sin until they see themselves as sinners before God, or Christ never means one thing in the world to them, and they drift from morality to immorality and from immorality to amoral. And most of our leaders today and many of our preachers have dipped into the state of amoral. They have no morals. They don't know what morality is. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. They don't. As Paul said over here, as one of the old prophets said, they put evil for good and good for evil. They don't know the difference. God help us in this hour. As we look at the present day church and described in the language of Paul's prophecy to Timothy of the church in the last days, it is fulfilled. It is filled with all kinds of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And we find that the only difference between the man in the world and the man in the church is the cloak of piety or external appearance. And that's slowly disappearing. One in name only. Morally, the church has dropped to the same level of apostate humanity. But let's take a look at the spiritual picture of the church today, because that is where we find the reason for the moral degradation of the church, whom Christ called out of the world, according to the Apostle Paul, to be the bride of Christ. Now, what's happening? There is coming the uniting of all of the unsaved members, preachers, and otherwise, that's emerging together across the world. And read the 17th chapter of Revelation. As I said, if you want my notes on the book of Revelation, there's 79 chapters. If you'll write me, we'll send you copies of them. You'll find that God there calls, the Lord Jesus Christ, calls the uniting of all of those churches. The great harlot. We bring that out so clearly in our study of the book of Revelation. Now Christ calls upon us there, come ye out from among them. Come. May the Holy Spirit of God convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, which is Satan. Unless the Holy Spirit overshadows you and opens your heart and lets you see that you are a sinner and need a Savior, there'll never be a revival. Can't be. We're going headlong on down to eternal destruction. My friend, I'm pouring out my heart to you this morning. You may not like my frankness about the condition of our churches today, but I've traveled all over this nation. 4 years ago, I traveled 30,000 miles backwards and forwards over this nation, contacting hundreds of people. And I know what I'm talking about. The letters come into my office daily. I know what I'm talking about. I know I preached for 25 years before I was saved. God awakened me one day that I was a lost sinner. If you want that book on when God saved a Baptist preacher and my religious life before God saved me. These two booklets you write me, and I'll send those to you. I want you to see the great need of the hour is a spiritual awakening that sinners will see that they're lost and doomed and damned and need a Savior. And Christ is God's Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And that repentance and remission of sins is to be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said, you're my witnesses for these things. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then when John the Baptist stood there by the on the banks of the river Jordan, he cried, repent, repent, repent. And a group of the Pharisees came to him and wanted to be baptized. And he said, except ye repent, you cannot be saved. When Peter got through with his message in the second chapter, he cried out. They did, said, what shall we do, men and brethren? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall be saved. God help us in this hour. Have you repented? Do you know Christ? Do you know Him? Do you know Him, my friends?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard today was the signs of the times, the church sign. We've already had the Jewish sign, the Gentile sign, and now the church sign. And these three messages are in print. We'd be glad to send them to you, postpaid, free and postpaid. If you would, let us know. Let us hear from you. Our mailing address, let me give you that quickly before I forget it. It's Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. I'd like to hear from you. I ask you oftentimes, well, very seldom, help us with the broadcast if you possibly can. We understand it if you can't, but we know that you can pray. Ask the Lord to indict the messages that goes out in your city or your town. And I know that you have folks that you'd like to be saved. Write us and let us know. We'd be glad to pray for them, put them on our mailing, on our prayer list. And we have a prayer group here that we pray for sick folks and lost folk. If you do that, I appreciate it. And our mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number, area code 225-664-8658. Goodbye, and may God bless you.